the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
For our good friends at Kerr's Hire, it's another AFLW Cat Attack Podcast. Tom King with you, Michaela Bowen as well. Hello, Bowie.
G'day, everyone. Kingy, how you doing?
Good. Some of your teammates actually took in this podcast.
Are you kidding? Yeah. I haven't heard. Do you know who I did hear? Is my mum. My mum was, I reckon, I don't know how many listeners you mentioned were on board last week, but I reckon mum would be in your first five. I don't know how she found it either. Where would the promotions come from?
So because we put it out on our social media, so Carrick Football Facebook page.
Oh, yeah, mum's there.
Yep. Carrick Football X.
Yep.
And then you can subscribe via Spotify.
Right, that's what mum must have done, because I think she follows Cat Attack.
The other Cat Attack.
Other Cat Attack, yes.
With Benny.
Yes, she does, very
She'd
much
She'd learn
so.
Some stuff listening to Benny.
Yes, loves it. I wouldn't say she's been fully into footy prior. My brother played, but yeah, ever since it's like she's a lot. She listens to a lot more footy podcasts than I do.
Can you give us a bit of your family background?
Absolutely, yeah. My mum predominantly grew up with her back in Perth, as I mentioned. I got mum, dad, brother. My parents were separated.
Yep.
Spent most of my time growing up with mum
in
Darlington.
So you remembered that?
You did, Kingy. I trust you to remember. Of course you do. Mum in Darlington. I'm sure she's listening. Hello, mum. Love you lots. Mum, Darlington.
Hey, I'll give you a tip. My mum's not listening to this.
She's not. No.
She's Harvey Norman. No interest.
You're kidding. No interest at all. I don't know if my brother, so I've got an older brother, Jackson. It was his birthday on the 25th, actually. So he would have just turned, 20?
Oh, Bowie.
I know.
Older.
He's older than me by 2 years. I don't know if
so
that's
26.
I think he's just turned 27.
Okay.
Mum will tell me if that's wrong.
Right.
I'm probably wrong in that. So older brother of miscellaneous age. I've got he's full blood. So same mum, same dad.
All right.
I've then got a younger sister, Gracie, who's like my absolute world.
So is that sister from another mister?
Sister from another mister, yes. So same mum, different dad.
Yep.
She's 12 years younger than me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so
so we've got something in common.
Yeah.
I've got brother from another mother.
Okay, yep.
And a sister also from...
Different sides?
So, no, dad's got... So, I have a sister who lives in Perth.
Yep,
Who's my full.
Yeah, okay.
And then my half-brother and a half-sister from dad's second marriage.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, because mine... That's so interesting, because mine then goes on to... I've then got an older sister on dad's side, who I wouldn't say I see often.
Yep.
Franny, her name is, she'd be... I don't have contact with her, so I don't know how old she would be at this point. She's got a little girl, but yeah, a bit of a diverse split family. Yep. But I would definitely say my brother Jackson and my little sister Grace are my definitely my biggest loves and biggest connections.
Right.
Mum's interesting story. Actually, you ready for this?
Mum's
partner Mike, who is Grace's dad.
Yep,
is the dad.
Hang on,
Do you need a bit of paper?
Let me draw
and the dots.
connecting.
Is the father of my best mate from school. So I grew up with a best mate called Scott Thomas, and we were just back and forth throughout the whole of pre-primary, I think we met, all the way through till senior school. Loved him. Our friend group, the whole family connection is so interesting. Our friend group, one of my best girlfriends, Emma Lucas, is now dating Scott. So they're together.
Right.
And they've just had a baby.
Nice.
So that's so beautiful, little Elodie. But so, yes, Scott's dad is Mike. And so then my best friend and I now have a shared sibling, which is, pardon me, which is very interesting. Yes.
You can't make that up.
I didn't make that up. No, as I mentioned, we've been sharing our stories, and I mentioned that to the girls throughout the group who...
So this was a Dom Condo... A little initiative, wasn't it?
To invest in culture and to get to know each other more. And a lot of them couldn't believe it either. It's very cool. I get to spend a lot of time with Scotty now, still as my best mate, but also as my brother-in-law. So that's fun.
Last 24 hours, the male football landscape has been...
What a day.
Not flipped on its head, but for you, who's part of that community, and yep. I suppose let's get your backstory first. You yep. are bisexual.
Bisexual, yep.
Which and proud of, and have spoken openly about.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mitch Brown, who yep. of course is twin brother of one of your assistant
yes,
coaches, Nathan
with us.
Brown. So
yep.
Mitch played with the Eagles. So they're Ballarat boys originally.
Mitch, oh, I didn't know that. Yep.
Mitch, West Coast Eagles.
Yep.
Nathan to Collingwood.
Yep.
Also played with St Kilda, played locally here, Barwon Heads. He's involved at Geelong College, now your midfield
now
coach.
With us.
His brother Mitch yesterday retired for 9 years,
yep.
but has... I don't like the word... Should you have to come out as something?
I would say Mitch has changed the world for the better as yeah. of yesterday, changed society for the better as of yesterday.
Yeah. I think it's...
No, Kingy, no. Yeah. I would sit here and be like, I've felt that myself, being yeah. like, I wish I didn't have to in, you know... come out to my mum, come out to my family,
yeah.
Because who I love is who I love, and that doesn't make it any different
yeah.
if I were to love a man or regardless. But I think in terms of where society is, I think, and because of the fact that it's been so looked down upon, had such a lack of acceptance, it's been felt for a long time that if you're different than the norm, coming out is something that you have to do to be somewhat accepted. And I say somewhat very strongly because regardless of whether or not people have come out or not, it's not necessarily been the case that they've been fully loved and accepted for that.
The response, though, for Mitch has been overwhelmingly positive. And then the hoped flow on in the AFL men's landscape is that if there is a player who is currently
for sure
playing who feels that, okay, this might help me.
For sure.
But it might not. It's not just who it helps playing football. It's who help.
It's a bigger picture.
It's
isn't
the
it?
Teenage boy who's struggling with his identity, going, 100%. "What am I going to cop here?"
100%. Yeah.
And well, okay, if a footballer in the most masculine of yeah. you know pursuits
sports there are, yeah,
can do it, mm-hmm. even though he is removed from it,
yeah.
but he's still part of the greater landscape
for sure. And I'm not naive to the fact that I feel in the AFL specifically, we were in a place where, yes, we've had a monumental day yesterday, but we cannot still get carried away that that's just made everything better and
right.
and acknowledging that we've still got a long way to go. And I think, as you mentioned before, Kingy, being a part of the community myself, I think about this often. I think about those that are not as fortunate to be a part of a club and community that I am to feel so safe in my identity. I've also done a fair bit of work throughout the Geelong Footy Club in the inclusion and diversity space. So looking into the LGBTQIA plus specifically, Angie Green, someone I've worked really closely with from Stand Up Events. She's done a lot of work with football clubs throughout the competition. And we always, you know, I don't know if I thought this day was further away than it was, this day being yesterday with Mitch Brown openly coming out as bisexual. But the fact that, you know, I think sometimes you can sit here, and we mentioned this before, Kingy, and put yourself somewhat in that position and imagine what that must feel like for someone. And I think for a long time, the response that has been received by Mitch is one that would have been very different in a lot of people's minds. And,
yeah.
you know, it's not to say that there hasn't been commentary or, you know, certain comments from certain individuals off the back of yesterday, but I can't see it. I cannot see any negativity, any pushback towards what Mitch has done yesterday because of the overflow of positivity and love that he's received. And I hope he's, out of everyone, is feeling that himself.
When you heard the news, did it have you reflecting on your journey?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah, and probably from a sense of... I would say my own journey, more from a minimal stance. I probably society in bigger reflection, because I think, as I just mentioned, I think I often reflect on my own journey is one that I'm very fortunate for. I think it's not, you know, wrong to say that for women in women's sport, yes, we still cop a lot of flack, and it's often the league is labelled in names that, you know, it's very present still, but it's much more accepted.
Yeah, the derogatory terms that are still...
Yeah, there's a lot. And yeah. we don't miss them either. We read them, we feel them, but in the same sense, I can imagine me reading a comment like that and then going into the football club is a very different experience and a different level of support provided from my teammates who,
yep.
like myself, are very much involved within this community than it would be for someone like Mitch or an AFL player within their competition, would be extremely isolating. So I'm going into my football club and lucky enough have 30 other girls there who, whether or not they're in the community, are accepting of me, are willing to sit there and listen to me and be there to support me. Whereas I can imagine if it was at the time Mitch was playing AFL still, he was reading those comments. Who does he have to go to?
Yeah.
You know, and you have no idea the thoughts he would have been feeling throughout this period that of his self-discovery. And, you know, as I mentioned, I think, yeah, a slight bit on mine, but probably more gratitude for how lucky I am and awareness as to how it is for the rest of society still.
Just on your journey, when did you...
come out to mum?
Well, not the coming out side of thing, but yeah. The acknowledgement to yourself that I'm bisexual.
Yeah, I when friends felt like more than, I think. Like, I think my first relationship back in Perth, which is the one that I ended up letting mum know about, was just one of my best girlfriends at the time. I hadn't had any thoughts. I hadn't had any questions about it. Mum, when I ended up telling her, was like, I knew. So whatever that means, you know, I've always been, predominantly loved hanging out with the boys, loved hanging out with, I had my girlfriends, had my boyfriends at school.
Yep.
But, yeah, not until my first relationship with a female was when I was like, okay, well, this is something, it wasn't even something that this is something that I'm interested in. It's like, this is something that just doesn't bother me. Yep. And this is something that feels like love to me.
Yep.
And I remember it trying to explain to mum at the time that I don't feel gay, I don't feel bisexual, I don't feel any of the terms. I just feel in love with this person. Yep. Like, I don't think it bothers me regardless of their gender. I, like, this friend of mine is now my best friend so much that I think I love them more.
Yep.
And so, yeah, have since, have dated both throughout my time. And again, for me, it's more of a matter of who makes me feel more like me. And I hope that's where we can get to as a society. I think we're at a place now that, yes, you've got the LGBTQIA+, and we need to be inclusive of that. But I would love to get to a point, as you mentioned, that no one has to come out. You don't have to identify as...
No.
It's just like, King, if you love someone, you love someone, and I'm so happy for you.
I've worked here at Geelong Broadcasters for 18 years, and I've worked with somebody who for the first 15 years, I didn't know they were gay, straight, or otherwise.
Yeah.
Because it just wasn't a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It was only when I was introduced to this person's partner.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so from your perspective, Kingy, what did that feel like in terms of the unknown of that situation? And from your perspective, it's like you just love this person.
Oh, it's just, it's a work colleague and has been and didn't change my perspective of this person one iota.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's one of the biggest differences is clearly the way that your upbringing and your beliefs on that allowed you to respond in that sense, whereas I think sometimes...
I think, though, can I just take you back?
Go.
I grew up in, you know, I went to St. Joey's here in Geelong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all boys, Catholic school.
Yeah.
Very sports oriented.
Yeah.
You know, I suspect if there was anybody in the queer community there in the time I was there.
It's not happening.
They weren't identifying as.
For sure. Yeah.
Right. And at the time, too, my views were probably very... traditional, conservative, as a teenage boy, I would never say I was homophobic or bigoted, but I would say my eyes were more opened when I started dating my wife.
Yeah, well.
Because she played a lot of female team sports.
For sure.
And her best mates.
Yeah.
In the queer community.
Yeah.
Eyes were well and truly open. And I was more understanding, I reckon. Meeting my wife was great, but... probably meeting her extended...
Yeah, it was a shift for you.
It wasn't a dramatic shift, but it was a...
Yeah.
I don't know, even eye-opening. It was just understanding.
Yeah.
I was better informed than I had been previously. Which is, considering working in radio, where radio there is a, you know, there are... You know, not a significant, but there has been a significant part of the queer community... And please correct me if I'm not using the right phrasing
here.
And I worked with gay men and women.
Yeah.
But probably had not a lot to do with them. And was when I started actually having day-to-day interactions.
Yeah.
That's when I finally, you better understanding.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a beautiful point, Kingy, as well. And sometimes reflecting on my own journey, as you've mentioned, I can recognize that because of the environments I've been around, I'm lucky enough to have the view that I do. And it's not about looking at alternate views from a sense of being like, well, you're clearly brought up wrong. Like, this is wrong, this is right. It's like, it's different.
Yeah.
Like you've said, your upbringing was very different to mine. There's an age gap between us.
You want to have a stab at how many years?
No, I don't.
Be really careful.
That's why I was going to continue my sentence.
Okay, keep going.
And
I'm not on Wikipedia, so you can't find me there either.
The state of society even and what was accepted when you would have been my age is very different to what it is now. And so I'm very fortunate to be in this position and I think we've come such a long way, but obviously you and I both can recognise that there's a long way to go still.
Yeah.
Like we've mentioned, I'd love to, you know, it's not gay, it's not anything, it's just who you love, realistically, and that doesn't impact anyone but you and the person that you're with. So, thanks for sharing that, King. It's good to know.
Absolutely. Yes, no, you won't find me on Wikipedia. Nobody's been
bothered. I'll find
it. No, there's
I'll ask the right people.
You'll ask the right people. What else are we talking about today? I always want to talk cars with you.
Yes, where the F1's back. Yeah. F1's back this weekend. They've had a break.
Yeah, I'm not talking F1.
Oh, cars, okay.
Yeah, I saw you, and I'm not going to give away what you drive other than the fact that it's a ute.
Yes. Yes, it's a fast ute.
It's
a Bogan ute.
Why are you driving a ute? Is that because of your tools and stuff like that?
Because
we talked about your love of furniture.
Honestly, yes, my love of being hands-on. Honestly, I think the listeners would know, clearly I have a passion for cars. I have a passion for being different. I have a passion for, I don't know, things that I find cool. And I think that was the first car I bought, actually, was this, as you mentioned. We won't mention the details of the green machine. But
it looks like you've run over Kermit the Frog.
It does. It does. And it looks like here you go for a funny story. I often worry about what people think of me stepping out of that car before they meet me and the perceptions that that may bring off, and no more so than Steve Hocking, the CEO of the Geelong Football Club, right? So what would have been three and a bit years ago now, I rock up to Geelong Footy Club car park in this green machine ute. And Steve Hocking, as the most beautiful and wholesome man that he is, came out of his way to come and meet me in the car park. So I had met, and nice. I'm pulling up into the car park, Kingy, and I can see Steve Hockey walking towards me. And my instant thoughts was like, I have given the worst impression of myself before I've even been able to speak to this man. I didn't know. Yeah, I hadn't spoken to him in person before. Lo and behold, we ended up having the most wholesome conversation around when Steve was 16 years old, his first car was the exact same make, the exact same model, the exact same ute shape as mine, but in a lightning blue.
Right.
So that was the first moment that I was like, okay, clearly this club is just leading the way in terms of accepting people for who they are. The fact that I can relate on a speed machine of a ute with the CEO of the football club is something pretty special. But yeah, I don't have much more background to other than the fact that when I was a bit younger, I thought it was really cool. So
have you taken him for a spin?
No, I haven't. I haven't done that yet. I feel like I've,
No ute, no circle work?
No, none of that.
You need to go out to Avalon or something like that and just cut some laps.
Absolutely, I would love to. I would say as well that the ute came in handy when it came to the tools.
Yep.
So we can put it on that. That's why I bought the ute, was for the sake of my carpentry apprenticeship.
Did you drive that across the Nullarbor?
No, I put it on a train over here.
On a train?
So it cost me it actually wasn't horrible. 700 and something.
Yeah, okay.
I loaded the ute tray up with all my belongings.
That's smart.
So that saved me in shipping costs.
Yeah.
But no, I went through a company that put the car on the train. I think I had to go pick it up in Melbourne. So just asked one of my mates to drive me there, and it was really seamless just getting it over here. I think I loved the car too much to drive it across. I was like, I don't want to ruin. This isn't a car that I want to risk ruining. you know, in terms of driving it across the Nullarbor. But in saying that, it's getting old, the green machine. Yeah, I'm, I think I'm pushing 210,000 kilometres on it now.
It's
so
nothing. I've got 265 on mine. Not on my ute. I used to have.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you that.
I used to have an AU2 Falcon ute.
The Ford?
Yeah.
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 It was the only decent thing out of the AU brands at Ford. AU and AU2 were not high points for Ford with their cars. And I know, look, Rex Gorel, if you're listening, I apologise, but they were no good. But the ute, the sports edition ute, was
top tier.
Yeah, so AU was the last thing they did before they went to the BAs.
Yep.
And the BA utes were nice too, but my AU2 ute, I got 10 years of reliable.
What was the kilometres?
I don't know where I was by the time I handed it. And in the end, my brother from another mother actually bought it off me.
I was going to say, where have we got to with the used to? You sold it to your brother?
Yeah, sold it to my brother. Yeah, because and he was just coming into license and carpentry apprenticeship. So,
oh, wow. So it would have worked perfectly.
So it worked perfectly for him.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many Ks were on it, but I had to do the family thing. And wife was pregnant.
Yes, so, for sure. For sure.
Ute's probably not going to work.
What do you mean you can't put the baby in the tray?
Yeah, well.
I often think that's a cop-out for me when I often get drove around by a lot of the girls and I can't really offer them much. I'm like, you can stand in the back of the tray. Other than that, one of you can sit in the cabin with me, but that's about it.
I used to have a mate that used to travel. If it was my wife and I and my mate, or who was my best man, he and I would drink somewhere, my wife would come and get us. She would drive the ute.
Just pick you up.
He'd go in the tray.
Actually.
Yeah, he'd go under the...
I was joking, Kim.
Yeah, no, under the tonneau cover.
That's so funny.
Yes. Is statute of limitations passed? This is 15 years ago. They can't get you police can't get you retrospectively, can they?
No, I don't think so.
I think we've moved on.
I don't think so. We're past that. We're good.
Right. So you've got to get rid of the green machine at some stage.
Well, I'm just, you know, is it something that I hold on to? Isn't it an antique? You know, is it something that's going to increase value?
I don't think so.
I can't see any 16-year-old wanting a green machine as much as I did, so I'll probably move it on.
So you've never driven across the Nullarbor?
No, I would love to. I would really love to. It's probably something that, in terms of WA, King, you've said you've been to WA a fair bit.
A couple of times,
yeah. As soon as I left WA and moved to Victoria, was the first time that I sat there and was like, I did not explore my home state as much as I wish that I did in terms of travelling and driving.
And it's a big place.
Massive. Massive place. It, you know, even in terms of being over the other side of the country, but then being in Victoria, having Adelaide around the corner, Sydney around the corner, everything's over here. Whereas I never realised how far away WA is since being out of it. So, no, I did not drive across. It's something I'd love to do. I'd probably... Yeah, hopefully I've bought another car by then because, I don't think I'd be taking the green machine across. But
Old Faithful won't get there.
No, I reckon it would. I just reckon she'd die when I got there.
What is the drive? Do you know? I don't even know how many Ks it is.
No idea. No, I know it's a couple of days. Or is it more?
Oh, a bit longer. A
bit longer, yeah. I probably underestimated that a lot. It's a lot of days.
It's 24 hours to the Gold Coast, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it'd be a lot longer then.
Yeah.
I've got that wrong.
Yeah, I think it takes a day to drive to the Gold Coast, according to people who have done it in one go.
Yeah, wow, non-stop.
Yeah.
Far out. Have you done much driving yourself?
I like to drive.
Yeah.
The furthest I've done is my first radio job was in Tamworth.
Where is that? You know my geography is not my strength.
Well, it's the country music capital of Australia. It's got the Golden Guitar. It's in far north New South Wales.
New South Wales, okay.
That was and I left there driving my little hairdresser's car.
Yeah.
Little silver folk. Yeah. Silver laser.
On your own?
Yeah, on my own.
Good on you.
I got to Parkes, which is in southwestern New South Wales,
and
stopped for a night and then on to Tamworth. So that's the furthest I've driven. I think the biggest I've driven in a day, I reckon I drove home from Batemans Bay, which is on the New South Wales south coast.
Okay.
Back to Geelong in one hit, and that was about an 8.5 hours.
A drive.
Wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
You stopped.
Yeah, but along the way. But you didn't sleep anywhere.
No, I didn't sleep anywhere.
Far out.
I like driving.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I love it. I will always put my hand up to be like, I have no issues. You can be the passenger princess. I'm fine.
With the right music.
Yeah. I find it quite therapeutic. Yep. I find, and that's similar to what I mentioned about being hands-on with craft and stuff, with whether it's furniture or cars, or I find it very therapeutic to be driving in my own thoughts with music there. I love driving on my own as well, very much so.
And I actually like driving with the music off sometimes too.
Yeah, okay.
Just that time, especially. So yep. I live in Leopold.
Yep.
So it's 14 minutes from my place to K-Rock.
Yeah, not too far.
And especially if I'm doing it, if I come in on a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning to do some work, I'll have the radio off, and that's think time.
And that's conscious. You've turned that off yourself.
Yep.
See, as I would love to do that, I love music that much that I will only ever sit in the car without music on if I've had a rort of a day. Mm. And I can tell that I've had a rort of a day when I'm driving home, my eyes are wide open, I'm sitting in traffic, and all I can hear is cars and nothing else.
What are you listening to at the moment?
What do you think I would listen to, Kingy?
I actually have no idea.
No idea.
Well, because you, as you said, you like to be different.
Yes. Well, yes, I do. I do it. And that's why I'm curious as to what would you think someone like me would listen to? The Footy Girls. I'm just going to jump in here. I am a massive rap fan. I love Drake. I love Travis Scott. I love all that genre. But I think my friends underestimate how broad my music listening can be. My mum, as I mentioned before, her side of the family is very much into, had an upbringing in ballet and classical. And so I'm very...
Yeah, so who's the ballerina? Was it your grandmother?
Not me. Grandma, Terry Charlesworth, and then mum as well. Yeah.
First ballerina, your grandmother? In WA? That's what Wikipedia says, so I don't believe...
Nana's massive. Nana's big name. I remember
So Charlesworth being a surname too. Charlesworth's a massive surname in WA.
Right. Because Nana ended up having the Terry Charlesworth Ballet Institute in... Right. And Mum is going to be listening to this being like, Michaela, what are you talking about? And I remember saying to Nana when I was younger, being like, Nana, you're famous. Like, I can see you. And she, Kayla, you know, I'm just doing my thing and blah, blah, blah. And it's probably not till I've got older that I've realised the impact that Nana and Mum had in that world of things. And it's something that I cannot speak to because I just have no involvement in it at all.
Do you know when that ballerina stuff came in handy for you?
When?
That goal you kicked last year when you were going the wrong way and then you went back.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's all
good. I thanked Mum and thanked Nana for that one, for sure, for sure. But no, coming back to the music, I love rhythmical, I love country, I'm not as much into the pop kind of, this is the thing, I'm like, if everyone's listening to it, I don't want to listen to it.
Yep.
I find there's a couple of girls throughout the footy club that are pretty strong towards what I listen to. I love pre-game, getting into the bit more heavy stuff, not as much into rock and heavy metal, but... Yeah.
Is there a musician at the club? Has anybody got a talent? Obviously, you missed Beck Goring.
Yes, I did. Yeah, what was she into?
Guitar. She played a guitar.
Wow, and okay.
Very good sort of like independent music. And I think she supported G Flip.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, was that at one of her shows on the middle of the Oval?
Yeah.
G Flip was doing a show for one of the footy...
Did she play one of the AFLW grand final?
That's what it was. Yeah. And Beck Goring was there on the guitar.
Pretty sure.
Yes, I do remember that. Yeah, I remember seeing that. I haven't had much crossover with Beck at all. I heard
Beck's a ripper.
The most beautiful things about her.
Yeah.
But just, I've never got the chat. Where is she now, Beck?
No, I don't know. I haven't seen Beck for a while. I used to walk a little bit around East Geelong and see her walking.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what Beck's up to. So I think she was the inaugural VFLW captain.
Wow.
But also, which gets forgotten, Mel Hickey missed AFLW first game for the Cats in 2019, and Beck was vice captain.
Wow.
So she captained Geelong that
for the first time, really.
First time that game.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. What am I listening to at the moment? Oh, sorry. I love this. So yesterday was 34 years since Pearl Jam's 10 was released.
Wow.
Now you can age me from this.
Wow.
So that came out on August 27, 1991.
Yeah.
That album was my teenage years.
Right, your childhood.
Yeah. And my 14-year-old daughter has followed in my footsteps. She likes Pearl Jam.
Loves Pearl Jam.
So anyway, we'd been out for dinner last night, but we had two cars. So my youngest went with my wife, my oldest usually gravitates towards me.
Yeah.
So she's come with me. And just as I was walking out of the venue we'd been at, it said 34 years. And I actually had Pearl Jam's 10 in the car.
Wow.
On the CD player.
Yeah.
In the car.
Yeah.
And whacked it in. Well, you should have heard her and I.
Belting it.
Belting
you
out.
Were.
Once. Black. Garden.
I was on my, because I'm doing this thing on Spotify at the moment with, called The DJ, where it's like you can just click on it and it goes through like, it's an AI generated thing that goes through what you think you would listen to. I remember Pearl Jam coming up on my recent DJ and there was a song on there that I really enjoyed. I cannot remember which one it was, but I will listen to it and next week I will tell you which one it is. Right. What's your favourite?
My favourite Pearl Jam song?
Yeah.
I still think it's Rearview Mirror, which is off their second album, Versus.
Yeah.
And it's got a great line in it, which when you're an disenfranchised, angry, young teenage man, or boy, not really a man, I was a boy, I gathered speed from you with me. And it was actually a song about, the song was actually about abuse.
Okay.
And getting out of an abusive relationship.
Yeah, right.
I gathered speed from you. With me.
Yeah. It was, what's the genre of Pearl Jam more?
Is grunge.
It, yeah, okay.
The grunge movement of the early 90s, the Seattle sound, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Stone Temple Pilots. I said Nirvana, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, so those bands were cool. Like, they were my... Yeah,
your
like
jams. There's also a feature on Spotify where you can collaborate with people on playlists. I think we'll have to do that one.
Yeah, we could do that.
Bowie and Kingy's Cat Attack collaboration.
Okay, we're going to do that.
We're going with it.
That'd be fun.
Love that.
We obviously haven't touched on any footy.
No, we haven't.
And do you want to talk about what happened between sort of 3:30 and 5 o'clock, or do you want to talk about what happened between 5 and 5:30 on Sunday?
What do the people want to hear?
Yeah.
We're not
here for hard footy talk.
No, that's we spoke briefly, Kingy, around the result for us on the weekend against the Crows. Obviously, for those that didn't tune in, had a really strong three-quarter effort, and similar to the week before, just couldn't seem to hold on for four quarters. I think there's been a lot of the post game, as you were just mentioning, reflection without trying to catastrophize, because as you know, we're two rounds into the season, but this is something for us as a group that you can't help but identifying that is you don't want to say a pattern at this point, but also you don't want to shy away from the fact that we did have have games last season as well. Sorry, that similar sort of mental psychological patterns, I think, and popped up in games. And I say mental and psychological because I don't at all doubt our physical ability to take games over the line. So there's been a lot of conversations that have come off the back of that in terms of, what we think is going through our heads at that point. And, the fact that as soon as the momentum shifts, we really struggle to seem to flip it back at this stage. As I mentioned, I think we're very much putting an emphasis on not wanting to catastrophize at the moment throughout the footy club and take it for what it was, because there's so many positives to take out of both last weekend and the week before against North. And again, because I think it's less physical, it's not the hardest thing in the world to fix. We just need to be honest. Yeah. A lot of deep conversations have come off the back of it.
Did you sleep well on Sunday night? Because
No.
You played 98% game time.
No, I didn't. I didn't sleep well. No,
I usually do. Did you come home? You came home that night.
Yes. The only games I think we don't come home, like the Gold Coast practice match, we didn't fly home afterwards. But I think it's listen to me now. I'm a full Victorian saying the WA trips.
Yeah.
When you're in WA, you do that every second week and you fly home after the game. But I think might correct me later in the season, but after the Perth games are the ones that we stay, because usually they end up quite late. It's obviously the longer flight over, but. Yeah. Yeah, played the Crows, sat with ourselves, sat in the airport. It just seemed like after the game we had so much time. We were in the Virgin Lounge for so long. The flight took longer. It took ages for the bags to come out. The bus ride was so long. But yes, a lot of time to think.
What goes on in the Virgin Lounge? What were you sort of nibbling on? Do you find yourself going back to the buffet because it's just there?
Well, I personally find myself quite strict on my eating pre-game. So I'm like, I love to be like, anything I put into my body, I can control pre-game.
Yep.
In the lead up throughout the week. And I do something called Treat Saturdays, which that then moves depending on when we play.
Yep.
So we played on Sunday. That then moves to a Treat Monday. But
What was on the menu on Treat Monday?
Treat Monday. Ooh. I love hot chips. I love hot chips and I love soft drink. And those are two things that I'm like, if I let myself, I would drink a lot of it throughout the week. So that's something that I'm like, I will look to replace that somehow throughout the week. Mm. Hot potatoes,
you have
soda
really
water.
Good teeth too, don't ruin them.
I have good teeth.
Yeah.
Have you noticed the chip in my teeth?
I wasn't looking that closely, but at least they're straight. Mine are like piano keys.
Well, I haven't noticed that at all, Kingy. Yeah, so, no, as soon as I come to the Virgin Lounge, the Virgin Lounge is always better after a win.
Yeah.
I think there's, in terms of consumption, I was letting myself just chips, whatever was. I've said chips that many times. Clearly, yeah. I'm obsessed with them. Whatever's around at that point post-game.
Have you got a preferred chip? Like, are you, everybody seems to like KFC.
Oh, Kingy, right. KFC is the one thing that I give up for the whole season because of how much I love it.
Really?
I love... Oh, Mum, I know you're listening. I love a chicken tenders box. Like, that for me is my prime order. But, again, it's something that I'm like, I need to... I think you'll pick up on this, Kingy, as well, when it comes to footy. I often regulate in a sense of I have only got one shot at this. So if I can give up KFC, which I love so much for the season, it's nothing. It's all good. So I haven't had that since... 2 weeks before preseason. That's not it. I don't even have that on my treat whatever day.
Yeah.
So the hot chips I'd go Red Rooster for.
All right.
Which realistically, they're the same thing.
And
I know that.
And that's really dangerous because Red Rooster's just on the corner as you're driving in the car park.
Yes. And my car's not hard to spot either.
No.
So I'm prime culprit.
One of your teammates, I know who that is.
It's hard not to.
Dom. Bowie's been at Red Rooster eating their chips.
I'm sure Dom would say, good on her. She's looking after herself, to be honest.
Cat that caught your eye?
Oh, cat that caught my eye. Becky Webster for me this week. It was actually really cool. Jake from our media team approached me as well, and a couple of the girls that this season were going to be miking up playing throughout the season, which is really cool. So Becky was ours. It's so funny. Becky's one of our biggest communicators, and I will never shy away from being like that. She is, you know, our foghorn out in the field. Like if it's ever quiet, you'll still hear Bex. But this weekend was like off the charts with the communication, the getting around each other, picking everyone up off the ground, and but that was a really cool segment that I actually just watched this morning of Becky mic'd up this week. Nice. It's on the Geelong Cats website. So cool. Such an awesome insight into the game and the small moments that you probably don't see from the sidelines. But I think even just as evident from that vision and audio this morning was just the effort that Becky brought for four quarters for us. As we mentioned, I think as a team we dropped off in the third, but I didn't feel that from her at all. We had a really strong priority going into the game around changing angles and not wanting to play straight line, predictable footy. And I think Becky just was, you know, the absolute pivot point for that for us. She drove a leg so often, changed lines, and really opened up the field for us, which is unreal.
Bowie's best?
Bowie's best throughout the comp. I thought about this before I got here. I think you would have an idea of who I'm going to say. I don't think I could not say this person. So if I'm...
Seven goals.
Was it six or seven?
Seven.
Oh, see, I'm thinking someone else. You're thinking Chloe Malloy.
Yes, who are you thinking?
Yes, I'm thinking Jazzy Garner, who had 30-something disposals and six goals.
Right.
Like, pick your poison, really.
6 out of 13 is a fair return, isn't it?
Was that... is that for Jazzy? She had 13 scoring shots?
No, 13. They had 13 goals.
They had 13 goals. Sorry. Yep. Right. Okay. So I would say...
Jazz has kicked six straight.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And what? How many disposals? 30?
31.
31 disposals and six goals. So not at all to take away from Chloe Malloy, and very much so because we've got the Swans this weekend. She's someone that's absolutely been bookmarked.
She only played 80% game time.
Who's that?
Jazz Garner.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's 20%. So
extrapolate
that out.
So what could have come? She could have had seven and, you know.
You know Ash Riddell.
High 30s.
43 to
43, I know. I know. Or to what that would feel like. You'd feel like the everything that happened in that game was dictated by you, surely, by that point.
Brought your own.
Yeah, brought your own pill.
Yep.
Jazz Garner would be mine for this week.
Okay.
Only from a sense that I think Jazz, on top of Chloe, would have been involved in creating the other seven of the goals in terms of being involved in the midfield and creating those opportunities. And I think Chloe is just an absolute spearhead in terms of dominance in front of goal, but would probably just, you know, I'd love to get the ball kicked to me like that. It would be awesome. And clearly she just makes the most of it and knows bang on how to convert. So ups to both of them, but Jazzy Garner for me this week for sure.
You'll be crossing paths with Darcy Maloney this week.
Yes. Did I?
And Laura Gardner.
Laura Gardner as well. Yeah, she's been there for a bit longer than Darcy. Darcy being her first season in the red and white. Interesting story, as there always is. When I was playing for West Coast, flew over here to GMHBA Stadium, and it was West Coast, obviously, V Geelong. Darcy was one of my matchups at one point. So this was, I think, Darcy's first ever suspension she got in this game, because first ever suspension and Darcy and I's first ever fight. And I think only fight, to be honest. Not that I get involved much. I wouldn't even say that about Darcy. Darcy does get involved.
Why were you blooming?
Oh, well, so she came after my captain. That's all. I'm like, as soon as it had nothing to do with her. Darcy is, I think it's one of her biggest strengths is her competitiveness and her hardness at the ball and the contest. And with that comes white line fever. So she just goes hard regardless. So when you're on her team, you love it. When you're not, it's, you know, we actually had a bit of a joke when she left. She's one of my closest mates, Darcy. I can't wait to getting a tiff with you on the field. So, you know, it'll all be lighthearted, but she'll just be going in just as hard as we will. And obviously we'll be as physical as we can be with her. But, we know she's still one of us and just in new colours at the moment. So, yeah, it'd be good to cross paths with her. And, yeah, she'll be sweet.
3:05 on Saturday at GMHBA Stadium. And with the boys not playing.
Get down there.
Yes, get down there.
Get down there, Cats fans. Goodness me.
Have a good week.
Yes. Thank you, Kingy. I appreciate that.
This has been a lot of fun.
It's the highlight.
Jeez, we've actually we've touched some stuff today, haven't we?
A lot.
We can touch Formula One results
next week.
Yep.
Formula One results, and I will fill you in on my favourite Pearl Jam song.
Yes, and also I want to know what you're watching.
Right now.
TV was. No, not right now.
Oh, next week.
Next week.
Great.
See ya.
The Cat Attack Podcast.
Kurz Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.